flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Hour number two, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a busy Tuesday. We'll get to the Red Sox coming up. Their Rafael Devers problem. How do they solve it? Because make no mistake, it is a problem. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. It's Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the top and bottom teams.
That's right.
In the NFL coming up about 20 minutes from now, as we do every Tuesday. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at high noon here on a Tommy Tuesday. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Is Mayo coaching for his job? Should he be coaching for his job? What about Bill Belichick to UNC? So that's at high noon. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. And, well, we should be getting our D'Angelo's lunch dropped off here any moment, Keith.
Looking forward to that. How about some Patriots breaking news, Jones?
Oh, what do you got there?
You excited about this? According to Adam Schefter, the Patriots are waiving wide receiver K.J. Osborne. He says it was a mutual decision.
Sure.
And he now will have a chance to catch on to a team where he will be able to play more. Unlikely. Which one of his 7 catches was your favorite this year?
Ooh. Well, this one was out of bounds, so does this count? I like the touchdown he had out of bounds.
The out of bounds touchdown was good. I like that when he ran out of bounds and came back in to help Drake.
Yeah, what week was that? Was that
hard to say. He
Jets
had
game, maybe?
7 catches for 57 yards and 1 touchdown in 7 games played.
I think we were all over this, Keith.
We hated it at the time. He was awful.
Okay. His first
was awful.
His first game against Cincinnati, which is a good game if you remember for the Patriots, for the team.
Yep.
I came in the next day, one of my little gripes, and we were both all over this guy. I was like, I'd cut him today.
Why is he playing?
I was like, what's he doing on
they
the field so much?
They eventually phased him out from playing.
Yeah, now I'd
But he played too much.
I'd imagine the second half of my take there was get Jalen Polk on the field more.
Well, yeah. I mean, they did just draft him in the second round. I stand by that.
That part, you know, hasn't aged as well. Yeah. But I watched one game of K.J. Osborne. I'm like, why is this guy here?
Kendrick Osborne.
Get him off the team. And as we came to find out, not only does he do nothing on the field, he's also a crummy teammate.
Yeah. Yeah,
whining about targets, whining about not being on the field.
I do
whining to get traded. Oh, that's a slam dunk. I want to get traded. Well, guess what? No one wants you. That's why you're waived and you're hoping to latch on somewhere else.
In the world of social media, right? A lot of people, if they get compliments, they'll retweet their compliments, right? They'll like and retweet their compliments. Like, oh, other people are saying this about this. K.J. Osborne went beyond that. He took a personal text from somebody that said how great he was and how, you know, stick with it. Like you're gonna get yours at some point. He screenshotted that, posted it.
Yep.
So it wasn't even like one click away. He had to take something that a friend said to him and was like, yeah, I'm going to put this on my Instagram story. So he was one of all of the receivers that have popped off at one point this year with zero production. Zero production. I never liked the signing. This one made no sense because you had two second-year receivers. You had two rookie receivers. If anything, you should get guys that are automatically better and like kind of slot them in accordingly. You know, I know you can't have all young guys, but you did have Kendrick Bourne, so you had a veteran guy. KJ Osborne made no sense.
Nope.
Like, what was the upside? Like, what was the high that you were going to get out of him versus the low, which was this?
Here's the only thing I'd say. It's a whiff by Elliott Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
But when you only have $4 million to spend on a wide receiver or $4 million to spend on a... Yeah. Speaking of guys who should be, you know, attempting to save their job.
Yeah, going great.
But Chukwuma Okorafor didn't work out with by Elliott Wolf. When you only have $4 million to spend and you're reined in on that budget, I would just say that's not purely an Elliott Wolf problem.
It's, you know what I would have done?
It's a misevaluation of talent, but Kraft wasn't willing to spend. So
well, if you have
$4
million for Okorafor and $4 million for KJ Osborne, get an $8 million tackle and call it a day. Like, I think you just need to read it and say there is no real upside with KJ Osborne. They, for the longest time, carried more wide receivers than anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the least production of anybody in the league.
And by the way, every time they get cut, Tyquan Thornton was released.
Yeah, they cut him.
Right? That wasn't a trade.
No, he's on the practice squad with the Chiefs.
Jalen Reagor released.
Yeah.
You know, so like all these guys.
Nobody wants him. I mean, they were post-trade deadline now, but still, nobody would have taken him.
He was on the team at the trade deadline and was in plenty of
trade
discussions.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody would have taken him.
Exactly.
My point. Nobody wanted him.
And then they're going to get released. They're going to clear waivers and they're going to latch on with practice squads.
Yeah.
Jalen Reagor, KJ Osborne's going to be the latest. Same thing with Tyquan Thornton. Like, it tells you how bad that. We already knew it was a bad receiver room, but it's just more evidence of how bad that receiver room is. These are practice squatters on other teams.
It's another shot, though, like you said, at Elliott Wolf. When you look at his offseason and you're like, all right, you drafted Drake May, you traded Matt Judon, and it looks like he's washed. Everything else, free agency has been a mess. Rounds 2 through 7 have been a mess. So, he's had quite a year.
It has not gone well for Elliott Wolf. Hasn't gone well for Patriots ownership and not spending a year ago. And it's arguably gone even worse for Jerod Mayo. It's one of our big discussions here today on Jones and Keefe. Is he coaching for his job? Should he be coaching for his job? Again, Greg Bedard, let me just reset here. Greg Bedard said that if Kraft, and this is according to multiple sources, if Kraft comes to the realization he made the wrong choice with Mayo, he won't hesitate to rectify the situation. So what does that mean? We can add that to our discussion about Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina. The NFL doesn't want Bill. I'm starting to wonder if UNC wants Bill. And I'm wondering if we've overrated how hot of a coaching commodity he's going to be, even at the college level. So you can jump in on all this. John is in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
Hey there. So I want to bring this back to Dan Campbell, right? So Dan Campbell, he in his first, two seasons was just horrible. I know he kind of took it back in the second
season for sure. You're shaking your head, Keith. Was it the first two or was
it
the first?
His second year he went 9-8.
Yeah, it's not horrible at all.
True, but what was the first?
They started like 1-7 or something like that. I'm pulling it up. Yeah, they started poorly that
year.
They
also, his first year, finished 3-3. So they were awful at the start. He was taking over a Matt Patricia team, which you can imagine how he left them. And he improved at the end, but okay, I get your point.
So the point being, though, that they had Sheila Ford in the leadership role, they had Brad Holmes, and they started spending money, drafting. And so I guess my question is, how much is Robert Kraft at fault in all this? And
a ton.
Sure.
A ton. He's the one who picked Mayo. He's the one who empowered Wolf. He's the one who doesn't want to spend. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, have him at the top of the list, but how do you rectify that?
He's in charge.
Yeah, it's like now we're talking about the Red Sox. John Henry's the problem.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. So what are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
Force, march down to Fenway and force him to sell the team? Fly a plane over Gillette and complain about the Kraft ownership? Like, what are you really going to do? He owns the team. So, yeah, he's a problem. He's probably the biggest problem. What are you going to do about it?
So the comparisons to Dan Campbell do get brought up a lot, and
well,
I just...
Mayo's brought them up.
Sure.
Mayo sees himself as Dan Campbell.
Well,
Campbell had a bad first year, you know.
And literally anybody who wants to keep Mayo, Mayo included, makes that comparison. I think they're very different because the way they coach on the field is opposite.
So this is what I was going to say to the caller, Keith. At least with Dan Campbell, and we kind of mocked the biting kneecaps and going forward on fourth down, but at least he kind of knew what he was all about.
Yeah.
What's Mayo all about? Like, honestly, what's he all about?
Timid.
What, What does he believe
in? Timid.
What are his beliefs? What's his value system?
Yeah, no idea.
I came out of his first press conference, and that was my takeaway from that press conference. People were like, "Oh, look at how funny he is, joking around at the podium." And it's like, "Yeah, but he didn't say anything."
No.
What are his beliefs? What's his value system?
What is it you say you do here?
How does
again,
he
we go back to that
do?
All the time. I know.
So Campbell, you at least knew. I didn't think he'd be this good of a coach. I was wrong about that.
No,
but at least you knew what he was all about.
You did, and you saw how aggressive he was even early, and he was a joke at his first press conference. Talk about Dan Campbell, yep. And they were 0-10 or whatever it was, and you're like, oh my God, what a dumb hire. They finished 3-3 their final six games. So that's why I do think these final four games for Mayo are pretty important. If people want to keep that comparison to Dan Campbell alive, then you better finish on a high note. Year two, now this is also important, and this is sort of out of Mayo's hands, but Ben Johnson was on the Lions staff. He was like a tight ends coach, passing game coordinator. In 2022, he became the offensive coordinator, and they went from 25th in points to 5th in points. Mm. So the offensive coordinator, because they still had Jared Goff both years, they still had Amon Ross St. Brown both years, but they took a massive leap forward offensively. And then last year they took another leap forward, went to the conference championship game, and now right now they have the best offense in the NFL. So Dan Campbell can be a little bit more aggressive when you have like an amazing offense and kind of coach it that way. So that's also right now working against Mayo. We don't really know what he does. He's very passive, and I don't think he has like a, you know, best offensive coordinator in football to sort of lean on that Dan Campbell has.
No.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mayo doesn't have a lot of help, but what's he done that impresses
you? Right.
I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
It's been a clown show. I'm pretty convinced it won't work with him, and he can't cut it. That's what it looks like week in and week out. In front of a microphone, when he's on the sideline, the results in the game, all of it. 617-779-7937. Because we teased Rafael Devers here, let's at least pay it off quick. How big of an issue is Rafael Devers? The contract, where he fits on the team. It sounds like they're not sold on him at third base. Good. I know Cora said yesterday at the winter meetings.
Cora went like heavy, like he's a third baseman. He signed as a third baseman.
We paid him as a third baseman. He did say for now at the end of it. For now, he's the third baseman of the Boston Red Sox. But I think it's a problem. And I think the fact they're sniffing around on Arenado or they're sniffing around on Bregman, even if Bregman can play second base, they're acknowledging that Devers, A, isn't a leader, and B, isn't a third baseman. It's a problem.
Yeah, no, Devers to me is a very good player. He's not a great player, and you paid him great player money, and at a time where you let great players go, or at least one specifically great player go, Devers to me is a perfect complement. Like, if you have Devers and Betts, or if you had Devers and Soto, or if you had Devers and Judge, like, okay, good player. Like, I don't want to, like, bash the guy. He's 30 homers, 90, 100 RBI, depending on the season. Like, that's good. You'll take that. But he's not good at third base, despite what Cora says. All bad defenders have stretches where you're like, oh, actually he's pretty good. But then no, he goes right back to being bad again defensively.
He's led the league in errors at third base 7 years in a row.
So like, what are we, like, come on.
He's
like,
DH. What?
Right. And everyone's like, oh, he could be first base. I'm like, I'm not even sure about that.
I wouldn't.
Why mess around with that?
If you trade, I would not trade Cassis to make room for Devers at first base is how I would put it. If you have Cassis and Devers, I don't think Cassis is great at first base either. But if you have him, Devers is a DH, which, by the way, can be very productive.
Yeah.
I mean, David Ortiz is a DH here forever. Not to say he's David Ortiz.
Yeah.
But, all right, focus on hitting. It's all you do anyway. You're not a leader. You can't play the field.
No.
Focus on being a DH. You're overpaying for him, but fine. But it's acknowledging that he's an imperfect player and an imperfect leader on this team.
He's not a leader, right? There were times that they'd have a losing streak. He'd disappear, like things like that. It's just not in him. I don't think you can change that from him, and that's why you need somebody else. I bet they are regretting paying him that kind of money and giving him that contract and thinking he could be the face of the franchise because he can't. It's also part their fault. Had they just signed Mookie Betts and then given Devers the same deal, he's not under as much pressure.
No, nope.
He can just go out there and smash the ball.
Bunch of money for Bregman, yeah. Or would you trade for Arenado?
I think they're both on the downside. Bregman's probably got a little bit more left in the tank, so I'd probably just Bregman.
I mean, Arenado,
I love Arenado. He's one of my favorite players ever, but I would right now I'd take Bregman.
Arenado's not going to cost you much in terms of prospects, but he's going to cost you something.
And I don't think he can hit like he can anymore. Like
Bregman.
He used to.
Bregman's the answer. Bradford told us yesterday. You can go seek that out on the Odyssey app.
But do I need Bregman playing second base?
No. I want him at third.
Yeah,
and moving Devers if you're signing Bregman. I'm not bringing in Bregman to play second and leaving Devers at third.
What
That's
do you
pointless.
Do with Yoshida? Guy's got to play.
If you missed any of Bradfo yesterday, though, good intel on, Bregman, number one. He also mentioned something. It jumped out to me in real time. I kind of forgot about it by the end of the interview. He mentioned Zach Gallen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is he bringing up Zach Gallen? What's that all about? Well, maybe it coincides with Sean McAdam. Gallen, by the way, a pitcher for the Diamondbacks, starting pitcher. McAdam says, I don't know that the Red Sox are going to be successful going after Max Fried and Corbin Burns when you see some of the other big market teams ready to go dollar for dollar there.
Oh, no, they're going to miss out on these guys, too?
So if that happens...
No way!
So if they don't...
That'd be crazy.
Teams are... Notice it didn't say blow them out of the water. It said go dollar for dollar.
No, they're going to...
Holler.
The Yankees are now desperate to sign guys.
Yeah.
The Dodgers may or may not have been in on Soto, so they feel like they have more money to spend. The Mets probably even told Soto they would get him more guys to play with them. The Blue Jays had a lot of money offered. They didn't get anybody.
Nope.
The Red Sox are going to lose out to all the other top guys.
Okay. Corbin Burns, Max Fried, teams want to go dollar for dollar. They might be pivoting to Zach Gallen. How do you deal with the Rafael Devers problem?
I think I'd actually rather have Gallen.
Oh, interesting. Well, maybe we can follow up
Zach
on this.
Gallen.
617-779-7937. That's coming up here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to the Celtics before the hour's out. And it is a tier Tuesday. We'll tier off the top teams and the Patriots in the NFL right after Trending with Billy Lanning.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins are in Winnipeg tonight to play the Jets. David Pastrnak missed yesterday's practice with an upper body injury. It is listed as day-to-day. Face-off at the Canada Life Center is at 8 o'clock. According to Adam Schefter, the New England Patriots are waiving wide receiver K.J. Osborne. It was a mutual decision. At Patriots practice yesterday, offensive tackle Caden Wallace returned to the practice field after being placed on the IR in Week 4 with an ankle injury. Patriots players are off today and will return to practice tomorrow. This Sunday, the Pats will be in Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Monday Night Football, the Bengals defeated the Cowboys 27-20 in Dallas. Boise State's Ashton Genty, Colorado's Travis Hunter, Miami's Cam Ward, and Oregon's Dylan Gabriel were all named finalists for this season's Heisman Trophy Award, and the Celtics will return to the court Thursday night when the Seas host the Pistons. I'm Billy Lanning. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.